So the United Arab Emirates has just left OPEC, or they've announced they're going to leave OPEC. Of course, OPEC is the cartel, the price-setting cartel among the oil-producing nations of mostly the Persian Gulf, but also outside of that with the OPEC plus 10 arrangement. Basically, OPEC is it's a consensus for a price control cartel where each participant in OPEC agrees to set a limit on how much oil it will produce in order to maintain sufficient scarcity and price levels for oil all around the world. And since Saudi Arabia is probably the largest producer there, and the Saudis, they want to maximize their revenues over time, this makes good economic sense for those countries. It's in their self-interest to have some, you know, some level of price controls, although it's not in the interests of the rest of the world. And, you know, because prices are kept artificially high by artificial oil scarcity. Okay, so that's what OPEC actually achieves, is artificial scarcity. They have the ability to ship more oil. I mean, other than right now during the war. But normally they have the ability to ship more oil. They just choose not to because they want to keep the prices high. So the UAE, which currently, I think it's set at about 3 million barrels per day, is its limit. It has the infrastructure to ship 4 or 5 million barrels of oil per day. And it wants to do that, especially since it's lost a lot of money during this war because of the inability to ship oil. So the UAE has decided to leave OPEC. And OPEC has existed since, I think, 1960. It's been around a while. This is a major deal. This is a major blow to the structure of OPEC, and it will lead to oil price instability. Now, UAE, it will decide it's going to ship more oil to make more money, and it may encourage other countries to say, well, why should we stick to our limits if the UAE is not sticking to their limits? You see, that's where this is going to start kicking off. What if Kuwait says, well, we want to ship more oil, or, you know, whoever, or the Saudis, for that matter, or Iraq, you know? Over time, lots of different countries could say, well, we want to ship more oil too. And it's in the self-interest of each of those countries to ship the maximum amount of oil that they can produce, even though that hurts the other members of the region by making their oil less valuable, right? So it's a very interesting conundrum. Market dynamics, supply and demand, global pricing, etc. But you know who else is going to be hurt by this decision? It's going to be the U.S. oil companies. See, here's what's going to happen. Once the Strait of Hormuz reopens, which I assume will happen eventually, although it could be many months away, and there's going to be a lot of economic damage inflicted upon the world because of this current problem. But once it reopens, there's going to be a glut of oil supply that those countries are trying to get rid of. Right now, they're actually flaming off some of the excess oil in Iran because they just can't ship it, and they don't want to close down the flow of oil in the wells because that causes long-term degradation of oil production, like permanent damage to those oil wells. So they keep it flowing, and they're just, well, flaring off, I guess is the right term. not flaming off. That's more like a gay pride parade type of thing. See the flamer over there is flaming off. No, this is flaring off. Anyway, the oil producers in America are going to be hurt by lower prices because, again, once the strait opens up, there's going to be a glut of oil supply that is available at a very low price as these countries are trying to just get rid of the oil they have sitting around, so much oil, they're overflowing with oil. But now that lower price won't last very long. It may only last a few weeks. But you're going to be shocked at how low oil goes. Like, oil will absolutely go under $50 a barrel spot price during that time period. And that's going to hurt U.S. oil exporters who are making huge money right now on the exports because of the scarcity. But, you know, it's wartime scarcity. But the after effect of that is that U.S. oil producers are going to face mass bankruptcy 1 or 2 years away because the global oil prices will be suppressed because of UAE leaving OPEC and probably other members also deciding to leave OPEC as well. So probably during this war, we could see oil hit $200 a barrel or even higher, depending on how long it lasts and how much infrastructure gets destroyed. I mean, it's not unreasonable to see oil at $300 a barrel, depending on the level of destruction that happens. But that might be the last time we ever see oil at $300 a barrel or whatever it hits, $150, $200. Because after this war, oil is going to get cheaper. It's going to get a lot cheaper. And that actually means that there's going to be downward pressure on food prices eventually, right? There's also the fact that probably millions of people will starve and die in 2027 because of the current situation. So there will be fewer people, that is lower demand for food, even though there will be much higher supply eventually because energy will be cheaper, farming will be less expensive to carry out, and we will have abundant food crops once the fertilizer gets back into production. So you see, talk about whiplash here. Times are going to be very difficult for the next year or couple of years. And yeah, millions of people are going to die and economies are going to get wrecked and farmers are going to go out of business. So that's already happening, mass bankruptcies, etc. But all of that is going to get reversed when the Strait of Hormuz opens up again, when the oil starts to flow in record volumes, when the fertilizer starts to flow and oil is going to get cheaper. As that takes place, man, it's going to be a time of cheaper food, cheaper oil, cheaper transportation, etc. Nevertheless, in the long run, transportation is moving over to electric vehicles anyway, and the power grid is going to be providing, you know, the primary power for those vehicles, whether it's from solar or coal or natural gas or one day fusion. So the era of oil is slowly coming to an end, not in the next decade, don't get me wrong, but eventually, slowly coming to an end. It's declining, let's say, and it's being made more obsolete by electric vehicles. Even Tesla has the electric semis that can cruise down the highway with substantial range on nothing but batteries. So these are game changers. Now, anyway, bottom line, don't take any of this as investment advice. I'm not an investment advisor. These are just my observations and conclusions. And I don't bet on oil markets because I'm too busy building platforms and things. Who's got time to wreck your sleep trying to monitor oil prices? Come on. I don't do that. But anyway, you can follow my work at brightvideos.com and be sure to check out our sponsor's website, SAT123.com. That's the satellite phone store for backup satellite communications and much more. They've got solar generators, which are very handy during power outages, as you might imagine. So check them out again, SAT123.com, or shop with us at healthrangerstore.com. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for listening.
I love essential oils. I know you do too. And I want to introduce you to a new brand and product line we have of certain selected set of essential oils. It's called Vital Guard. And we've got it in different formats. You're going to love it. I was just spraying some here before I started recording. This is my favorite formulation by far. We blended it ourselves. And of course, we have lab verified sources where we test for heavy metals and we test for glyphosate and other things. But check this out. I want to show you on my screen here. Here's the organic Vital Guard essential oil blend. Yes, certified organic, but here it is. It's lemon oil, it's clove bud, cinnamon bark, eucalyptus, rosemary, sweet orange, all together, premium grade, distributed by, of course, healthrangerstore.com. And if you go to healthrangerstore.com, you will be able to just search for Vital Guard. It's all one word, and you can find these products. Now, here's some that we have right now. So we have just the oil itself, 15 milliliters. Or, and then you can use that in a nebulizer or however you wish. We have the essential oil pillow spray, 2 ounces, that I love this format. I love to spray it on my pillow before I sleep. If I were to travel much, I would always take this with me traveling. especially, you know, like even in an Uber or a taxi or on a train or a plane, you name it. Then we have the hand spray also. That is a 2 ounce, 59 milliliters here that you'll love. And it also has some very amazing properties naturally because of the essential oils themselves. And then we have the essential oil shower mist format as well, which is available. These are just some different formats of the same essential oil blend, but just, you know, diluted with water or put in a different spray format or different concentrations. It's the same core essential oil. You will love this. And if you're a fan of essential oils and some of the amazing protective properties that they offer, or you've seen some of these oils, you know, mentioned in the Bible or mentioned throughout history, or the history of ancient Europe, for example, you will know that this blend is really something special. It's not just each oil by itself. It's the synergistic properties of all of these oils together. Not only is it absolutely delightful, but it also, that's why I call it Vital Guard, because it's vital to have protection. And these essential oils can help create that Vital Guard aura, that atmosphere around you. Again, check out the ingredients one more time. It's on my screen. I love the cinnamon in this, by the way. I can smell the clove and the cinnamon, especially. They come out very, very strong. But you combine all these together, and some of these are in my first aid gel, by the way, that's colloidal silver first aid with essential oils. There's some of these oils that are the same across both of those. Just the lemon by itself has amazing properties. So if you want to find out more about these particular ingredients, you can use our AI engine called brightanswers.ai. You can ask it about any of these, and it's uncensored, and it's got, you know, hundreds of thousands of documents and science papers and books that it can research in order to give you your answers. So check it out there. And if you want to purchase these at our online store, that's healthrangerstore.com. Just search for Vital Guard and enjoy these products. I know you'll really love them. I certainly do. I use them daily. So thanks for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.
Our world has become far too dependent on an energy supply chain and a fertilizer supply chain, which are intertwined, obviously, out of the Persian Gulf area, and both of which are temporarily severed. We don't know how long this is going to last, but it exposes the vulnerability of our highly complex society with these long supply chains that are under single points of failure. And the point of failure in particular right now, of course, is the Strait of Hormuz. It's a geographical point of failure. And it shows how just one crazy country, like in this case, Trump's America, can disrupt the global supply chains of these necessary components for energy, fertilizer, and food, and plunge much of the world into a spectrum of distress. It could be, you know, recession, depression, collapse, famine, just depending on the country, depending on the resilience factors that are at play around the world. But what does this teach us? That redundancy and decentralization are the key concepts that will protect us from these kinds of failures in the future. And yet, redundancy at the local level, like, hey, you should grow some of your own food, you should make some of your own medicine, you should even produce some of your own energy with solar panels, etc. These kinds of wise messages are rarely promoted by media or governments or corporations, etc. Typically, the message that's sent to everybody in society is, oh, you should count on the government, depend on the government, apply for food stamps, you know, let the government take care of you. Oh, you need rent subsidies. Oh, the government will tell you what to eat. The government will tell you what's safe. And it's this reliance on government that actually is going to get people killed, you know, in many cases, as the situation unfolds and these scarcities are really driven home, because many of them are quite serious. And we're probably facing tens of millions of people starving to death around the world over the next, let's say, 18 months or so, depending on how long the Strait of Hormuz stays closed. So the messaging that is broadcast to the people is exactly the opposite of what they need to hear. And that's why people like me are censored, because I have the opposite message of the establishment. I tell you, don't depend on the government. Become self-reliant. Grow your own food. Learn your own skills. Own your own land, right? Make your own medicine. Learn about natural medicine. Learn how to do these things, and you will be more self-reliant. Have your own real money, like gold and silver. Get off the grid as much as you can. Have your own electricity if you can. You know, go solar, or, I don't know, have a generator, or both. These messages are intrinsic to human survival and resilience, and yet they are the first kind of messages that are censored or ridiculed or blacklisted or deplatformed or demonetized across all the platforms of content out there. And remember, I've been censored since 2014, so 12 years of being blacklisted and censored because my message is pro-human, pro-resilience, pro-self-reliance. And that is exactly the message the governments don't want you to hear. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why? What's the big underlying reason behind that? And it's because they don't want you to be hard to kill. See, if you follow my work, if you read my books, if you listen to my podcasts, if you, you know, watch my videos, etc., you're going to be hard to kill. You're going to be hard to control. You're going to be hard to trick. You're going to be hard to bankrupt. You're going to be hard to starve out. All these things. And, you know, because you're going to be more resilient, more redundant, more self-reliant, better informed, etc. That means that you can survive the mass extermination agenda as it accelerates, an agenda that will, of course, consume a great many other people who are not very self-reliant and who simply, in many cases, they don't have the knowledge that you and I have, the knowledge that I share and that I teach. And so the most important information that can keep people alive is precisely the information that is most heavily prioritized for silencing. That's a fact. And that tells you that the plan really is depopulation. So when they silence all the voices that told the truth about vaccines or COVID vaccines or flu shots or whatever, you know that's all about depopulation. They don't want people to know that vaccines are dangerous. They want people to participate in their own medically induced slow euthanasia, which is what vaccines are. And so they silence all voices in opposition to that. But they also want you impoverished because you're easier to control. They want you financially enslaved. So they don't want you to know about gold and silver. They don't want you to know about privacy crypto. They don't want you to know about anything related to privacy and finances or being able to hold assets without counterparty risk. They want counterparty risk because they are the risk. They want to be able to collapse all your assets overnight. They want to be able to seize your funds and have a bank bail in and take everything you own and make you desperate, because that's how they can control you. That's how they can eliminate you. You see? So it's very clear, actually, that it's a binary option here. You can either listen to people like me, and there are others. I'm not the only one, obviously, but people that promote self-sufficiency, redundancy, you know, localized living, etc. And you're going to do well. Or you can just tune in to the establishment and follow what they tell you, and you will expire on schedule as they work to depopulate the planet of humans. And that's where most people are. And what's funny is those people think that they believe in science. You know, they all lined up and obediently took the jabs, and a lot of them are dead now because of that. But they think that, oh, if the FDA says this food ingredient is safe, then it must be safe. I'm going to go ahead and eat that. Okay, well, that's your choice, but you're going to commit a slow, like, seed oil suicide or a, you know, sodium nitrite poisoning and turbo cancer or whatever. The food supply is designed to kill you slowly. The vaccines are designed to kill you a little more quickly. And war and power grid failure is designed to kill you rapidly. And the globalists will use all these different vectors and methods to kill off different groups of people at different times with the same shared ultimate goal of massively reducing existing human populations by billions of people, by the way. So, you know, many of the so-called accidents or the wars or whatever, these are not accidents. These are all part of a plan. COVID was engineered. The pandemic was rigged. The current war in the Middle East is also intentional. It's also rigged on purpose to cut off energy and fertilizer. Of course it is. You know, the sucking the CO2 out of the atmosphere, carbon sequestration, that's engineered to cause crop failures and to contribute to global mass famine. Of course it is, because if you take CO2 out of the atmosphere, crops don't produce as much as they're taking away the fertilizer too. I mean, think about it, folks. Everything that's happening, so when the lights go out and the power grid fails, it's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. It's not a cyber attack. It's a plan. It's a plan to turn off the lights and kill millions of people who live in the cities. Or to turn off the lights to a whole country and kill all the people in that country, like Trump recently caused to happen with Cuba. The effort was to try to kill all the Cuban people. Well, it didn't work. Their lights are back on and they didn't freeze to death because they don't live in a cold climate, you know? They were able to make do. So, but these are all the same thread, the same exact thread. And that's what you need to understand. You need to step back. You need to put on the depopulation glasses, like X-ray vision. And when you put those on and you look at the events that are happening in the world around you, you realize it all has a common goal. And the goal is mass extermination of existing human populations, whether it's censorship, whether it's the genocide being carried out by Israel, whether it's war in the Middle East, whether it's shutting off fertilizers, whether it's, you know, financial collapse, banking collapse, whatever. All of it has the same common thread. You know, the hormone disruptors in the food supply, the legal immunity for the pesticide and herbicide companies that sell herbicides like atrazine that are gender bender chemicals that can cause widespread infertility. Come on. This is not a coincidence. It's all on purpose. It's all part of the same agenda for mass human extermination and depopulation, obviously. And the rebuke against that used to be, well, why would they kill off people when the governments are collecting all the tax revenues and all the benefits of the people's work? Yeah, well, now there's AI. So AI on a computer takes over human cognition. AI embodied in a robot can take over human labor over time eventually. So they don't need humans. They don't. So that whole argument goes out the window. They don't need humans. The governments of the world can shore up their own power. They can, you know, build the weapons that they want to build. They can accumulate the wealth they want to accumulate just using artificial intelligence. They don't need humans any longer. And humans become a liability on the balance sheet for those governments because they have to pay for Medicare and Social Security and food stamps and pensions and everything else. So they're like, how do we get rid of these liabilities? Oh, yeah, well, we'll fake a cyber attack on the power grid, turn off the lights for 6 months. And then, kaboom, look, our balance sheet looks better now. We've reduced our annual outlays by $3 trillion because those people are no longer living. See, that's how it actually works at the highest level of government. They don't care about their people. They don't care about human lives. They don't care about you. They just care about their own power. And if you're in the way, they'll find a justification and get rid of you and a mechanism to pull it off. It's very clear. All right, so bottom line is I cover this topic quite a bit, and it's irrefutable that depopulation is part of the agenda. If you want to hear more coverage and plus my interviews with really interesting people, like I just interviewed Colonel Douglas McGregor, I just interviewed Cyrus Jansen, for example, with News Out of China. I was just interviewed by Maria Z. I'm on Redacted with some frequency as well. I'm interviewing a lot of interesting people. You can check out all my interviews and podcasts at brightvideos.com, and you can read my articles at naturalnews.com. And I've got infographics there that are also really popular. People love them. And thank you for sharing them. In fact, Professor Jiang, the very popular Chinese, economic educator, very popular guy. I love his channel. He used one of my infographics recently talking about the attacks on infrastructure, refineries, and fertilizer. And so he put that up on the screen. So yeah, Professor Jiang is reading my stuff too, and so are a lot of other people. So check it all out. Again, naturalnews.com and brightvideos.com. And if you want to support my work, you just enjoy ultra clean foods and superfoods and certified organic products at healthrangerstore.com. And I think you will really love it. So check it out. Thank you for your support. Share all this information as you want to. And thank you for listening. Take care.
Okay, I've got some cool good news to report. I've got some upgrades to share with you. And for the first time in a long time, I'm going to ask for your help here. And what am I talking about? Brightlearn.ai. As you know, this is the book creation engine that I built. What was it? Like 4 or 5 months ago. And it has now published 53,000 books. I know, that's a lot of books. And as you know, my mission for brightlearn.ai is to reduce the cost of learning to zero, to allow people to create books on any topic they want, including instructional books. Ultimately, my goal has been to do it in multiple languages and multiple formats. And I'm here today to announce that some of that has just been achieved. So you probably know that we have hundreds of audiobooks that are now available based on the popular books that have been created on the site. And of course, you can download those full-length audiobooks. Just go to books.brightlearn.ai, and there you'll be able to see the audiobooks button or tab, and you click on that. You can see all the audiobooks. You can download them one at a time. I don't yet have a collection available for a download, but that's something I'm pondering how to do. In any case, they're full-length audiobooks. There's no copyright protection, no digital protection. They're just straight downloadable MP3s. And by the way, all the audio of those audiobooks is produced in my local data center, or I should say my mini data center. It's 48 workstations that I have with GPUs. And I get to use them for different things. And so I've got a set of them that's dedicated to audiobook production for the actual audio files, which for some books is a lot. You know, it's like 12 or 15 hours of audio. So do the math on that. It's a lot of audio. Anyway, that's available. And there are more audiobooks every day. In fact, let's see. I'm looking over. There's an audiobook being produced right now. What is this one? It's The Suppression of Chlorine Dioxide Research. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the subchapter name. The book is Chlorine Dioxide, All You Ever Wanted to Know and More. There you go. So there's a book that would be censored everywhere else. And yet, on brightlearn.ai, you get to learn about chlorine dioxide, and you get to download the full audiobook, and it's all free, and it's open source, essentially. You know, I mean, really, it's offered under a license that is attribution license, right? So you can publish it, you can copy it, you just have to give attribution to brightlearn.ai. So with that in place, here's what's new. A couple of things. First of all, because of the improving economics of token costs, token generation, and some clever things we've been able to do, I have been able to raise the free tier of the book site from 3 chapters to 5 chapters, which means you can now generate a 5-chapter book completely free of charge, no token, no fee. It's just, you just register, you know, it's just your email address, and you can generate a 5-chapter book. And of course, we do the artwork for you. It's all automatic, and then we do the research for you. We do the writing and the citations, the packaging, the PDF that's downloadable, and then the hosting of the book on the site. Oh, and by the way, we've had almost 367,000 downloads of these books so far.
and counting, right? So five chapters is now the free tier. And if you have a token for BrightLearn, and you can get a token from our store, either healthrangerstore.com or bright.shop, which is the store that has pretty much the same products, but that store is dedicated to supporting the Bright universe of sites that we have, like brightanswers.ai or brightlearn.ai. Anyway, if you have a token, then you can generate books that are even larger now. I think it goes up to 20, what is it, 20 chapters, or maybe it's 22 chapters, whatever, or 21. Anyway, we've upgraded that. So again, you can create a five-chapter book free of charge with no token. All right, so that's very cool. And on top of that, the other cool thing I want to announce is that we now have books in Espanol. Like I promised, huh? So I am looking at that right now. Let me bring up the En Español. I love saying it that way. It's fun. Let's see. El Código de la Diabetes Descifrado. Oh, yeah. Okay. Here's one. Mente Librada. Yeah. Very good stuff. Ah, here we go. Nutrición Sagrada. That sounds important. Let's see. What are some of these? Oh, Peptido Poder. So there we go. Oh, Poder de los Peptidos. There we go. The power of peptides, right? So anyway, I'm reading the book covers, and not all the covers are perfect yet. There are still a few little glitches. But we now have, gosh, it's over 100 books in Espanol that are available right now. So what you can do is just go to books.brightlearn.ai, and you can click on En Español, and then you can see the books, and you can click on the books, and you can either download the PDFs, or you can read them on the website. You can share the URLs, whatever. Now, this is where I'm going to ask for your help. Because of the economics situation improving, I've been able to make our costs lower for producing books and doing the translations and so much more. Of course, most of this is due to open source models, you know, some of which came out of China. So I got to thank them for the open source models. But here's the thing. I am asking you to help me spread the word about this site. And you can do it in a couple of ways. Of course, you can tell people about the fact that they can create a five-chapter book on anything they want, completely free of charge, with the cover art and everything, and that the research is amazing because it researches hundreds of thousands of science papers and, you know, what is it, 140,000 books now? I forgot the exact number because it keeps going up because I have a bunch of automated systems building it. You know, we're adding books and we're adding articles constantly to the indexing engine, which is our own private indexing engine. It's completely unique. Nobody else in the world has this set of content. And every book that you want to write is composed based on research from our in-house hosted, you know, data, well, index document library. And so it can save you, you know, hundreds of hours of research to write the book that you want. So anyway, number one, tell people about the site now that it's a five-chapter book that's completely free. That makes it extremely usable for lots and lots of people. So tell them about it and tell them about the 53,000 books. Oh, I'm sorry. It's 54,000 books. I just took a look now. 54,000 books. And they can download the books completely free. So again, I'm reducing the cost of knowledge to zero, but I need your help to tell the world about this. Of course, nobody in the mainstream media is going to cover this because, you know, oh my God, it has books about DMSO and chlorine dioxide and how to be free and about the benefits of gold and, you know, therapeutic peptides and how to grow your own food and things like that, right? How to be free. Well, they don't want you to know about that. So they won't tell you about this site. But the second thing I want to ask your help on is if you speak Spanish or if you know someone who does, spread the word about the Espanol book titles that we have now in our little biblioteca, you know? So right now it's, I think it's under 200 books in Espanol. But of course, that's going to steadily increase to the point where we will have soon 500 books or 1,000 books in Espanol. And again, they're all freely downloadable and they can be shared. They can be shared, you know, with my permission. Just give us credit. That's all we ask for. So, see, the thing is, a lot of citizens that live in Spanish-speaking countries, they, most people there have access to the internet, but they're still impoverished, you know, in terms of they're not going to spend like $10 per audiobook with audible.com, or they're not going to buy books from Amazon and have them shipped, typically, right? I've created the system now where any person who speaks Spanish anywhere in the world can, regardless of their income level, they can now learn everything that they want to learn for free. All they need is internet access. You can read these books on a mobile phone. And you can also use our engine on a mobile phone. You can create your own books on a mobile phone. So this is, it's like a breakthrough of knowledge for those Spanish speakers, especially at the lower income levels, who may not typically be able to afford purchasing a bunch of books. But now they can learn everything. They can learn, you know, mathematics. They can learn about history. They can learn about food production. They can learn about finance and economics. So many things. Natural health, diabetes, you know. I mean, natural cures, all kinds of things. And if you, you know, the causes of autism. By the way, I've got a whole book. What is it? Vacunas causan autismo, right? So that's a book that I wrote, actually. And so now that's translated into Espanol. So you can spread the word, you know, if you know people who are Spanish speakers and who would appreciate this content. There's no tricks to this or anything. This isn't some giant trick. It's like, no, I just want to reach a billion people. That's my goal. And a lot of people speak Spanish. And of course, this isn't the last language that I'm going to be, you know, using for translation here. So next, I haven't decided what language to go with next. I might just do French because it's a pretty easy thing to do French after I've nailed down Spanish. But I also want to do Russian and Chinese. I think I might do Chinese after French, actually. And that's going to be very difficult because, you know, like I can read and pronounce and speak enough Spanish to know if something's horribly wrong with the book cover. Like, that's not right, you know. But when it comes to Chinese, even though I speak Chinese, like conversational level Chinese, I don't read it. I never learned to read Chinese because it's all character based. You know, every word is a little painting. Every word is a picture. And you have to memorize them all. You can't sound it out. You know, it's not phonetic. So if my system starts producing Chinese covers, I have no idea if they're correct. Fortunately, I know lots of people who can read Chinese, so I'll run it by them. Like, what does this say? Also, I should tell you, well, anyway, so my goal is to do multiple languages, obviously, and to share this knowledge with the world. So we now have the bandwidth capability. We have the cost efficiency down where we can handle a lot of downloads. We can handle a lot of traffic and we can handle a lot more people generating books. So spread the word and let's help get knowledge out to the world. Now, one other thing I wanted to mention, I wrote the program that does the book cover translation. So please forgive me for the mistakes that are still there. The translated covers are not perfect, but they're pretty good. Some of them are perfect, but some of them are not. And I got to tell you, after building all the code for this and spending, actually over the weekend, I did this project, and it's harder than it looks because an English book cover, you know, the words can be very artistic. They can be obviously different colors, different locations, different kind of fonts and bolding and outlines. And then you have to somehow clean off all the English words and take the words away from the background and then just have a clean background with no words. Right? So that's step one in doing a book cover translation. So I have to use AI engines that can see and that can think about imagery in order to do that. And of course, my rule is I only do it on local compute, local hardware with open source models. I don't use any APIs to do this. I don't use Google or, you know, OpenRouter or whatever. I don't use any of that. This is all happening locally. So it's tricky. And I went through a lot of issues. But anyway, once you get a background that's clean, then you have to, you know, draw the Spanish words. And of course, you have to do the Spanish translation, but that's the easiest part because that's, you know, automatic with AI engines today. But you have to draw out the Spanish words with some resemblance to the original English title, right? So if the English title is all bold yellow text, then you want the Spanish title to be bold yellow text, right? And this gets doubly complicated because Spanish is bigger than English. There's more letters in there overall. More letters. It's not as bad as German, where the Germans just add like five extra syllables onto every word for some reason. None of us know why. But in Spanish, they just have more letters. So it's going to take up more space, right? But the book is only so big. So what do you do? Do you compress it? Do you use a smaller font? You know, how do you even sample the color of the original English? And frankly, you know, some of the book covers just are fails. Some of them are just fails. And I have to manually then kind of recue those for a regeneration. But most of them work. I'm pretty happy with most of the covers. I think you'll like them. So, you know, an English book that's like The Dental Revolution, how to regenerate your teeth, you know, naturally. In Spanish, what is it here? La revolución del esmalte regenera dientes de forma natural. It was like, there's more letters in there, you know? But it's mostly good. So check it out. We do have, I think I last looked, it's 167 books that have been translated, but we don't have all the covers yet. So the covers take longer, and I'm looking at the cover engine over here. Where's the cursor? What are we doing now? Oh, The Hidden War on Health. That's getting translated. The cover is right now. So we have multiple different processes. One process is doing the covers. One process is doing the books, etc. And all this is available for free. So again, with your help, we can help spread the word on this. It's the only library in the world where every book is free and there are no copyright restrictions, just attribution license. It's the only library in the world where you can download the audiobooks with zero digital rights protection nonsense. You don't have to log into a server or run an app to listen to the audiobooks. You don't have to have permission from anybody to read a book like you have, you know, with Amazon Kindle or Audible or what have you. We have decentralized knowledge at a massive scale, and we've made it available in audiobook formats and online reading, as well as downloadable PDFs, all completely free of charge. That makes me feel good to be able to announce that, because that's a big deal, and there's more coming. So with your help, we can be well on our way to reaching millions of people. Remember, my goal is to reach 1 billion. That's going to take a while. But first, we got to reach 1 million. So I need your help reaching 1 million. We're like 40, almost 40%, or 37% of the way to reaching 1 million people. At least that's just in terms of downloads. Probably page views is, you know, already many millions. I haven't even checked. But we're going to have to go 1,000x in order to reach a billion people. So I definitely need your help to do that. So hey, thank you for sharing the word about this, and feel free to use the engine. And if you encounter weird-looking translations, just please understand that we are not Google. We don't have government money. We don't have investors on purpose. This is me vibe coding this sucker and just putting it out there for free. And it's hope you enjoy it. Hope you value it, and please spread the word. All right, there you go. Now, if you want to use my other AI engines, I've got brightanswers.ai, which is our deep research AI answer engine. And then I've got brightnews.ai, which is a news trends and analysis engine. I've got some additional plans for that coming up. And I've got some, you know, other new projects as well. Of course, you can watch all my videos at brightvideos.com. And you can also read my articles at naturalnews.com. So thank you for your support. And thank you for, you know, just supporting the mission, actually. Not just supporting me and our platforms, but supporting the mission of decentralizing knowledge and bypassing gatekeepers and bypassing censorship in multiple languages for the whole world. That's what this is all about. So thank you for your support. All right, take care.
On this year's Mother's Day, celebrate mom, and we've helped you do that with some amazing specials and some gifts and some really interesting new products, all available from healthrangerstore.com/Mother's Day. So just type that into your browser URL, healthrangerstore.com/Mother's Day. It will take you to this page right here. It begins April 30th at 11 a.m. and runs through May the 4th at 11 a.m. And here's what you can do. First of all, when you purchase $129 or more, you're going to get this free gift of our 5G defense. This is a really potent, amazing product, high density. You want to stock up on that because of how it helps your body naturally respond to peroxynitrite production. You can do some research on that. And if you spend $199 or more, then you also get this organic pumpkin spice oat latte, which is, that's a fan favorite. This is really amazing. It's kind of like, people think of it as almost like a clean organic eggnog type of mix, but of course, with everything real, everything high density nutrition, certified organic and laboratory tested. In addition to that, we have several products back in stock. We've got our tart cherry probiotics, our brown flax seed, and our ginger immune support. These are stick packs that can be mixed with water or other beverages to make delicious drinks. And then we've got doorbusters, just limited quantities of these that are available. We've got our, for example, our hydrate elementals with organic coconut water and Aquamen. That's very popular, especially if you're active, you know, for athletes or anybody working out. Organic lucuma powder, our organic butter powder that has also been recently tested for dioxins, in addition to the other things we test. We've got our, oh, very delicious creamy tomato instant soup. People love that. And plus other products here, freeze-dried mangoes like candy. Everybody loves that. We've got the clean chlorella powder, an extra 40% off right now. These are pretty amazing prices. And then we have a new line of our essential oil blends called Vital Guard. And I'm going to talk about these separately, but it's amazing. The spray, if you spray it on your pillow before you go to sleep at night, you're going to feel like you're in a luxury resort. You know, the blend of oils here is historical. It's even, you know, biblical oils that are known and have a reputation of offering protective properties. It's really amazing. It's called Vital Guard. That's brand new from our store. You're going to love those blends. I love them myself. Then we have exclusive offers from our third-party vendors, including water filter companies. We've got the seed kits here that are very popular right now from ARC. Good time to start planting food in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, because of what's happening with fertilizer, etc. We've got our Elk Antler Velvet Gold from Daniel Vitalis, his company. The saunas, you know, so much more. Check all these products out. Again, just go to healthrangerstore.com/Mother's Day to see all of these third-party vendor products. Here's the Triad Air, and there's the Big Berkey Stainless Steel, the TerraQuant Portable Cold Laser, etc. And then on top of that, we've got some, depending on the day, we've got some special collections that are hand-selected for you. The first day being beauty and self-care and glow essentials right here. A lot of those available, including our collagen. And here's the Colloidal Silver Mouthwash. I use this every morning. It's really wonderful. Tooth salt and so on. There's so much more. I can't go through it all. I'm only halfway down the page. So we have a lot of specials, some free gifts, and then some offers from our third-party vendors that will really save you a bundle. So check it all out at healthrangerstore.com slash Mother's Day. And remember that it begins April 30th at 11 a.m. and it goes through May 4th at 11 a.m. So happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And I hope that you take advantage of this, given the way prices are going right now with supply chains and, you know, the fertilizer shortage and the energy shortage. Prices will never have these this low again, probably on any of these products. That's our world, folks. That's our world. So thank you for supporting us and happy Mother's Day. And we hope you enjoy these ultra clean, lab tested, beneficial products. Thanks for your support. Happy Mother's Day. Take care.
Well, former FBI Director James Comey, who I think was actually made director by former President Trump, I mean Trump's former administration, has been charged now under the current Trump administration with threatening the life of the president. And this refers to his, I believe it was a 2025 photo that he posted on social media where it was a picture of some seashells arranged to show the numbers 86, 45, was that? Was it 86-45 or 86-47? Anyway, it referred to killing President Trump, clearly. Now, he's being charged with making that threat, but will this hold up to legal scrutiny? Now, I'm not a legal expert, so there will be others who will clearly be more informed on this particular point from the legal perspective, but I want to talk to you about the weaponization of government and that perspective. Now, don't get me wrong. James Comey, in my opinion, is a nefarious creature. He's evil. And he clearly abused the FBI back in 2017 to target Trump. He worked to set up Trump. And in particular, I think he set up General Flynn. Also, James Comey did some bad things, very bad things. And James Comey, in my opinion, should be prosecuted for some of the other crimes that he committed. But this one, posting this photo of the 47 or was he referring to 45 at that time? Maybe he was return of 45. But this photo, I doubt that this is going to hold up in court. And here's why. First of all, I don't believe James Comey when he says that he wasn't aware that those numbers had a specific meaning. That's nonsense. He's clearly lying. So yeah, he's a liar. He's a nefarious person. He's probably guilty of many other nefarious crimes that I would love for him to be prosecuted for. But for posting an arrangement of seashells on social media, this did not contain information that specifically called for other people to take the action of killing anyone. It did not make a specific direct threat in the sense of, I'm going to pick up this so-and-so instrument and I'm going to track you down and I'm going to, you know, end you or whatever. It didn't contain that kind of language. Now, you might say, well, maybe it was a signal to somebody else. Maybe it was an activation signal, or maybe it would have inspired other people to take such actions against Trump. Well, that's a legal theory. I mean, maybe that'll hold up in court. Maybe not. But if it were a signal, like a covert signal, then it wouldn't be so obvious. If it were a covert signal, it would be some other numbers, you know, like 72 or whatever, instead of being obviously 86. So I don't think it's a hidden signal. Now, could you argue that it could have inspired somebody else to try to kill the president? Well, that's an argument, but even the recent attempted shooting at the correspondents' dinner, I'm not aware of anything linking that shooter's motivations to the James Comey post. So, and even if you could show that, it's pretty far-fetched, actually. I don't think this will hold up in court. I think this is the DOJ sending a message, maybe a little bit of a revenge message to James Comey, who did ruin the lives of many people and who did clearly abuse his power as director of the FBI. And this might be sending him a message, and maybe it's leverage for something else. And I think that's where we really need to look at this. Is this leverage to say to James Comey, okay, we'll drop these charges if you give up some other information, or if you agree to testify against somebody else that we actually want to prosecute more? I tend to think that's where this is headed. So this is probably, this is my guess, this is probably a tool of leverage to get James Comey to do something else. And James Comey probably knows where a lot of the bodies are buried. You know, he's got skeletons in his FBI closet for sure. And this is a pretty strong way to assert leverage. But if he calls the bluff and if this goes to trial, I don't think he could be found guilty of that in terms of a trial by jury. Although, remember that the legal system in America is itself the punishment. So just being dragged through this process, I mean, you know, General Flynn can speak to this, Roger Stone can speak to this, just being dragged through the process of having to hire an attorney and defend yourself and do the depositions and show up in court, on and on and on. This is an arduous process at best, and it can bankrupt many people, and it can take all kinds of time and energy and cause all kinds of stress. So, you know, the process is the punishment, even if you're found innocent in the end. And since the federal government has essentially unlimited resources to direct at prosecuting you, like they did to Alex Jones, they can drag you through years of extreme costs and extreme stress and extreme disruptions of your life. So that's what James Comey is actually facing. Probably not a guilty decision. He's probably not going to go to prison over this. I'm very doubtful of that. But it could absolutely destroy his quality of life and cost him a tremendous amount of money, and it could bankrupt him. And the way this often works, when governments want to go after somebody, they will also start investigating their family members or business associates. And then they'll find something on a family member. And they'll say, oh, well, if you don't, you know, do what we want, then we're going to prosecute your daughter or, you know, your sister or your business associate or whatever on these charges. But if you cooperate with us, we'll forget about those other things. And this is part of the problem, by the way, of big government, is they have so much discretion about pressing charges. They can let all their friends go scot-free, even if they're committing crazy crimes like insider trading, while they selectively prosecute their political enemies. And clearly, James Comey is a political enemy of the Trump administration. But again, Comey, if anyone deserves this, it's James Comey, because he weaponized the system against Trump, clearly. And, you know, even though I don't agree with most of Trump's policies right now, I continue to defend Trump against the false smears. And you think about the whole Russia hoax, the collusion hoax that was run by, you know, all these Democrats and all these globalists and some of these left-wing lawyers, etc. The impeachments of Trump in his first term, the total collusion. I mean, just imagine, even the people that he had as attorney general were all working against him. Even William Barr was working against him. It was unbelievable. So Trump was raked over the coals in his first term. And if some of those people who abused their power to target Trump in his first term, if some of those people get a little bit of karma here, I have nothing against that. But I don't like to see government weaponizing going after innocent people, obviously. That's my big concern, because a government that has the power to selectively target and destroy anyone they choose, that's a government that has the power to destroy your life or mine or anybody's life for any reason. And that can be dangerous. And we are clearly in some gray areas in that territory, you know, just spanning the last four or five presidents. I mean, Bill Clinton used to weaponize government against his political enemies, obviously. So did Barack Obama. And so did Joe Biden, even worse. And is that what Trump is doing now? Well, I don't know. I mean, you can decide what you think is happening. I think James Comey, more than almost anyone, deserves this level of scrutiny because he, in my view, he violated the law numerous times in when he served as FBI director. So I'm glad he's not at the FBI. I'm not impressed with what Kash Patel is doing at the FBI. But my impression of Kash Patel is that he's mostly just hiding under the table, and he's not actually, weaponizing the FBI in the same way that the Democrats did. So I don't know. You can agree or disagree with that, but that's my impression at the moment. What I really want to see, by the way, is the arrests and prosecution of those who rigged the 2020 election. The people that stuffed the ballots, the people that ran the voting machines that, or I mean, who hacked them and who altered them, the people who, you know, reran the same ballots over and over again through the voting machine so they would count more than once, the people who faked the water leak at 3 a.m. You know, those are the people that I want to see prosecuted. And I have to wonder why those prosecutions aren't happening. Why not? And what about all the spies that colluded to create the Trump-Russia dossier with all these made-up lies about Trump? You know, those, and some of those worked for, you know, British intelligence, MI6. Some of those were freelancers or what have you. What's happening to those people? Maybe some of those people have already been taken care of and we just never heard about it. You know, maybe they've already been offed or something and it's not going to happen through the court system. I don't know. I guess that's a possibility, but those are some evil people as well. I would never do that to anyone. You know, I would never take part in any kind of a nefarious smear campaign relying on just, you know, made up stuff to attack and smear anybody. That's just so dishonest, so unethical. The kind of people who do that really deserve whatever's coming to them through the DOJ or whatever else the Trump administration decides to do to them. I have no sympathy for deceivers and liars and traitors, okay? But I do support the rule of law, and I do believe that James Comey deserves his day in court. He has the right to defend himself. And I also think, as a nation, we need to be very careful prosecuting people for memes, you know, photo memes that have kind of a joking aura about them. There's a lot of people posting a lot of jokes. It doesn't really mean they're seriously trying to get somebody killed. I would put this in that category, and I would hope that they would prosecute James Comey for other more serious crimes for which there is clearly a lot more evidence. So we'll see if that happens. But thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams here. You can watch more of my videos if you wish at brightvideos.com, or you can read my articles at naturalnews.com. Take care.
Trump made the decision to go to war. Well, I'm not sure he did. I think the Israelis made the decision, and Trump was compelled to follow along with it. I think Mr. Netanyahu continues to exert far more influence and power and authority, frankly, in Washington, D.C. than Donald Trump. And that's why people are saying to me all the time, well, why haven't the Democrats stood up and insisted on an end to this? Why aren't they fighting this? And I said, because the same people that control the Republican Party control the Democratic Party. There is a profound difference there. They may differ on some other domestic issues, but when it comes to Israel and Iran, everybody's pretty much in the same boat.
Welcome to today's interview here on brightvideos.com. I'm Mike Adams, and I'm joined today by one of my favorite guests, and I think just a great all-around American, Colonel Douglas McGregor joins us today. Welcome, Colonel. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Well, thanks for the nice introduction. I appreciate it.
Well, I try to keep it short because you don't need an introduction. Everybody sees you. They you know, you're well known now, and you have been calling this situation correctly for, you know, even during the Ukraine-Russia conflict and now with what's happening in the Middle East. If only our leaders had the wisdom to listen to you, maybe we wouldn't be in this quagmire. What's your current overall assessment of where we are?
Well, I think at the moment, not a great deal has changed, unfortunately, in Ukraine. As far as the American side is concerned, we continue to waste dollars and time and resources on this criminal regime in Kiev that's just wallowing in corruption. And of course, you have the periodic conflict on the ground in eastern Ukraine, but I think the Russians at this point are getting ready to do something more dramatic than they have recently. I think they'll probably move more of their forces closer to the Dnieper River. But I still think the Russians, sadly, believe that at some point they're going to have an arrangement with the West, and specifically with the people in NATO and the EU, that will bring the war to a close. I don't think it will, but there are still Russians that believe that. Now, as far as what's happening in Iran, we just went through this massive air and missile campaign, which never had much chance of success against a country that is half the size of India with 93 million people, surrounded largely by enormous mountain ranges and impassable deserts. But we did it nonetheless. And then we decided to add insult to injury when we said we wanted a ceasefire. The Iranians were not particularly interested in a ceasefire, but we said we wanted it. So the Iranians said, fine. And then we instituted suddenly this blockade. I don't think we were ready to blockade, you know, Iran and the Persian Gulf, but that's what we've done. I don't think we have enough forces to get it, to make it effective. And we're so far away because of fear of being sunk at sea that the ships are limited in what they can cover. So if you're going to sit 400 or 500 miles south of the Persian Gulf and you've only got, let's say, 25 ships for almost 800 miles, you're in quite a bind to try and control everything coming in and going out. Now, for the moment, it looks like nothing really is coming in or going out, but that has more to do with the Iranians who are upset over the blockade. I think the larger picture, though, that everybody needs to understand is that the world is sliding towards a major depression. There's no understanding of just what this stoppage of the Persian Gulf has made in terms of impact on the rest of the world. Everything, nitrogen, phosphorus, aluminum, helium, all of your fertilizer, in addition to liquefied natural gas or any of the other petroleum products, makes it impossible for the world to continue with normal daily life. And so now you have the threat of famine that is growing with each passing day because the fertilizer is sitting aboard ships inside the Persian Gulf. And that fertilizer is critical in places like India, Southeast Asia, Korea, Japan. And in addition to that, of course, you have the minerals and metals that I mentioned. These things are absolutely vital if you're going to have computer chips and microcircuitry. You know that from your own experience. So if you don't have these things and the rest of the world is coming to a virtual stop, that means the rest of the world is staring at a depression. We here in the United States are very definitely looking at a recession, because when you have a rise in energy prices, you also have a drop in the availability of credit. Cheap credit is inextricably intertwined with cheap energy. Energy becomes more expensive, credit dries up. So some of your major financial firms, private equity firms like BlackRock and KKR and others, are in very serious trouble. They're in such trouble, they're just illiquid. And they're trying to borrow money against the assets that they have under management, because they have no cash and they can't pay anything out, which is why they've told their customers and the people that have invested with them, don't bother dropping by. We can't give you any money. That's
Colonel,
a very bad sign.
I want to add something to your, I think, correct assessment of the economic implications of this. I did a lot of research on this very point. I'm going to show an infographic that I created on my screen here, the coming famine, the engineered starvation of 2027. Yep. And if you actually look at the research and which countries are most vulnerable, here we are. Sudan, Yemen, Somalia, Ethiopia, and Bangladesh are all the top tier high risk nations with literally tens of millions of people that are already marginally on a starvation projection. If not for food aid, they would starve this year. Mm-hmm. But without the nitrogen that you just mentioned, without the energy, and by the way, Bangladesh, for example, has its own nitrogen production plant, but it needs natural gas, you know, out of Qatar. That's not coming either. So just in these nations, these are the highest risk nations. And as you well know, you've talked about this. After that, then there's Egypt and then there's India that are also going to suffer tremendously. We may not starve to death in America, but our people will end up paying much higher prices for food, which will have economic consequences. So can you talk more about the, you know, Trump's decision to start this war could literally kill more people than the Holocaust?
Oh, easily. There's no question about it. And you're right to make the point that you put the worst cases up there, which are people that are always living on the margins as it is. But we need to understand that until the 1970s, we never stockpiled oil. It was the oil crisis of the 1970s that resulted in the creation of all these strategic reserves all over the world. And the people with the best strategic reserves, the most in reserve that can survive this better than anybody, are the Chinese. You know, now we're going to have our problems. People don't realize how much oil we import to California. And California has a limited number of refineries. And I've forgotten the exact number of how many barrels of oil per day they need to sustain themselves. But that's falling rapidly. Now, people say, well, we've got oil, yes, but it's not on the West Coast, which means it has to be trucked over the mountains to California. We don't have any pipelines that go from east to west. California is a basket case. Not only is it deeply in debt, but now it doesn't have the fuel that it needs to power what's left of its economy, which is not very good. So we're going to definitely have problems here at home. But I think the biggest issue of all for your purposes, and you're spot on this, is really fertilizer. And if you look at the fertilizer today, the amount that's being exported is a fraction of what's required for people all over the world. I'm talking about fertilizer coming out of the Gulf.
Right.
Now, you hit on something that's very important. Trump made the decision to go to war. Well, I'm not sure he did. I think the Israelis made the decision and Trump was compelled to follow along with it. I think Mr. Netanyahu continues to exert far more influence and power and authority, frankly, in Washington, D.C. than Donald Trump. And that's why people are saying to me all the time, well, why haven't the Democrats stood up and insisted on an end to this? Why aren't they fighting this? And I said, because the same people that control the Republican Party control the Democratic Party. There isn't a profound difference there. They may differ on some other domestic issues, but when it comes to Israel and Iran, everybody's pretty much in the same boat. Uh-huh. Now, we're going to have a vote, I think, coming up either tomorrow or the next day on the War Powers Act. I'll be very interested to watch that because I think we can expect all the Republicans to line up in support of the president's desire to continue this war no matter what. I'll be surprised if any Democrats don't also join. I think they may, but I don't think it has any chance of passing. So why did we go to war? Well, first of all, this is all about Israel. Contrary to what Donald Trump says publicly and his supporters, we don't have any reason to go to war with Iran. Iran presents no existential threat to us. And this argument that, well, look what they did to us when we were in Iraq. Well, what the Iranians did was that they provided some technology for improvised explosive devices to their Shiite co-religionists inside southern Iraq. But the Arabs quickly took that over. They manufactured them and built them. The Iranians had very little impact there. But they did what we would do if we had a Russian or Chinese enemy occupying Mexico. If the Russians or the Chinese were as dumb as we are and tried to occupy Mexico the way we occupied Iraq, well, then I'm sure that we would provide the Mexican resistance with whatever it needed. That I see is something that one does because it's in one's interest to do so more than anything else. It's just a natural strategic outcome of a unwanted and unnecessary military occupation. But we also forget that when Saddam Hussein waged war against Iran and killed over 800,000 Iranians in the process because he wanted to capture their oil fields. And that's where most of the war was waged, and with missiles, of course, between cities. We supplied Saddam Hussein with all the materials he needed. We supplied him with weapons and equipment. We sent advisors over there. When I was a young officer commanding a tank company in, this got to go way back now to what, 1982, 83 at Fort Carson, Colorado, there were people leaving Fort Carson while I was there as a captain and going over to advise the Iraqis on how to fight the Iranians. We forget that. 800 plus thousand dead Iranians because of a war we actively supported against them in Iraq. Then, of course, we turned around, went back to Iraq in 1990, and you know the rest of the story.
And the chemical weapons that we supplied. Oh,
absolutely. And we go to the Germans to support that. We push the Germans into that, as we frequently do push our NATO allies to do things. So you're spot on. And if I were an Iranian, obviously, under the circumstances, I wouldn't feel much sympathy for us. But the picture itself is a very grim one, largely because of the economic picture that you're well familiar with. And I think that's something most Americans don't understand. They won't understand any of this until it hits them.
Yes, yes. What I love about your take on this is not only are you a highly experienced and highly educated, you know, hands-on military man, a veteran, but also I would consider you an academic of military history as well. And I want to
actually, my background is entirely in international relations and comparative politics. History is something I studied on the side.
That's interesting.
If you don't know the historical record, what are you going to say about politics?
Yeah, yeah. But let me give out your Substack, though, here, before you continue, please. You write on Substack, and here it is, McGregorWarrior.substack.com. I just want to encourage people to follow you on Substack because you have some really outstanding articles. So I'm sorry to interrupt you there. Go ahead.
No. My only point is that, unfortunately, we tend to compartmentalize a lot, and people that go into what they call political science frequently have a superficial grasp of historical experience, and they may or may not understand much about basic economics.
Right.
And that's the problem. So they build these models that are there to try and tell you what's going to happen. They don't work. You know, most models are useless. Some are useful, but most of them are not. And it's a big problem in our educational approach. But anyhow, that's another subject.
Well, that actually is a great segue to what I wanted to ask you about next, which is the long-term damage to the oil output or oil throughput capacity of these wells in Iran and also neighboring countries. And of course, big news just broke today or yesterday. The UAE is leaving OPEC. They're going to set their own, you know, production at this point. But let me show you this infographic. It's another one I put together. Very few Americans actually know this, or very few people, that if the oil wells stop functioning, especially these low pressure wells that are in Iran, where the oil is barely flowing, if they stop and there's not flow for 2 or 3 weeks, or it could be as little as a few days or as long as a few months, then you can get 20 to 30% permanent loss of output of that well for a number of reasons. Water intrudes in the fissures. There can be paraffin blockages, all kinds of, you know, the chemical engineers can figure that out. But the bottom line that you cover, that you know, is that the economic consequences of this are now starting to add up day by day, where you can't turn it right back on. So talk to us about what that means for our world.
Well, in the short run, if we don't stop this air campaign right now, this air and missile campaign, if we don't disengage from what we're doing, and I say this in all sincerity, and I would do it if I were the president of the United States, I would say on humanitarian grounds, I am disengaging our forces from this war, because this is no longer a question of a dispute between ourselves, Israel, and Iran. This is a dispute that's having global impact, and I'm not interested in being responsible for what you described earlier. But the startup cost in the future, if we don't stop this, I think it'll be 5 to 10 years before most of these oil fields really recover from the damage that's being done to them. It's not just oil infrastructure, as you point out. You have a problem that we, by the way, have right now in Venezuela. And that's one of the reasons all the oil corporation CEOs that met with Donald Trump simply told him repeatedly, he didn't like it, didn't want to hear it, but they said, look, this is too expensive to go down there. The infrastructure's old. It would cost us hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, to go down there, refit, refurbish everything, and pump out oil, even from existing oil wells, for all the reasons that you've already cited. So you're talking, you know, he talks about bombing everybody back to the Stone Age. I think we're not going to go back to the Stone Age, but we're certainly looking at a profound drop in our standard of living here in the United States and around the world. And that's going to last for several years. Every economist that I know has told me that repeatedly. If we don't stop this now, we continue this, and we do another 3 or 4 week air and missile campaign on the same scale that we did the last one, we're going to see damage that just won't be recovered for almost a decade in most cases.
It's like we're getting to the point where each day that ticks by right now can now have a price tag attached to it, a cost to the global economy and a cost to human lives. And it might be something like, I'm just guessing, but for each day that this war continues, another 50,000 people will starve in a year, or, you know, something like that. Maybe the number is smaller than that, but there's also an economic cost to this. For every day that ticks by, there's, you know, $200 million of losses to the global economy. So this is becoming, you know, Trump is sort of exporting the cost to the rest of the world while the American people are funding the weapons and Netanyahu is giving him his orders. It's like everybody loses.
Well, it's, you know, I'm just looking right now at a chart that unfortunately, you know, it's not available for you, but the bottom line is it's starting in April, the export of urea-laden ships out of the Gulf, in other words, urea, has gone from, you know, 1 million tons down to zero.
Oh, wow.
To zero right now. And that means, you know, everybody who's trying to cultivate crops, the planting season is upon us. And it takes weeks and weeks for these ships to arrive. I mean, it's not just, you're not just disrupting the supply train for this whole thing, the supply chain rather. You're doing exactly what you just said. You're making famine absolutely unavoidable. Now, I don't know if President Trump understands that, if this is being briefed to him. I don't know his attitude. The problem is that the Israelis want the destruction of Iran. That is their goal. This business, you said, well, how did we get into this? Well, it started out, well, we'll begin a campaign in support of the unrest, the supposed theory of millions of people who want to overthrow the evil regime. Well, that was always nonsense, and that failed quickly. Well, now what we have to do is decapitate, go in and destroy the regime. That didn't work. Well, now we have to cause the disintegration of the Iranian state and society. That's not going to happen. You know, we had 180 ships at sea during the Cuban missile blockade. That doesn't include all the submarines, but that included about 8 carriers, half of which were submarine chasers. Now, you stop and look at that. Remember that we were operating on our home waters, which meant that logistical support was easy. It was easy to reach a port. You could replenish quickly. You could pull ships off the line, send them back into port, bring them back, rotate them, whatever, rotate crews. We can't do that in the Indian Ocean. We have people that have been at sea for 10 months or more.
Wow.
Morale in the ships at sea is not good. They're miserable. Let's be frank. This is terrible duty. Anybody who's been to sea for any length of time knows it's tough. Well, this is worse. So there are a lot of people that are unhappy about that. Now, the other thing we're not talking about is the arsenal of missiles that we have at our disposal. And you can read different kinds of accounts. And I don't like to go into numbers because I don't know when it becomes classified. We know we launched over 1,000 Tomahawks. Tomahawk missiles were actually not bad off in that particular area. In other words, we've got another 1,000 that we can expend and we still have something left over. But when you move out of that into the Standard missile, into Patriot missiles, into theater high altitude missiles and so forth, we're scraping the bottom. And everybody misses the point that we are not mobilized for total war, which means that you're only producing a couple of hundred missiles or so every month, when in order to keep up with the demand, you need to do hundreds and hundreds of missiles every month, preferably 200 or 300 every week. The Chinese can produce 1,000 engines for missiles and rockets every day. So just stop and think about it. 1,000 rocket or missile motors every day. How many can we produce in a day? I think it's not going to be very many. And I doubt seriously we can get 30 out in a month.
Yeah, it's like single digits per day, maybe.
Yeah,
Colonel, exactly. Stand by. We need to wrap up. This is part one of our interview. And I know you're going to stay with us for another part. We're going to talk about the future for the American empire and your involvement in the national conversation in part two coming up. So, folks, if you haven't yet seen part two, you can find that at brightvideos.com. Of course, free to watch. And thank you for watching today here. We've been talking with Colonel Douglas McGregor, a true American, just an all-around amazing person, I think, whose voice has a special importance at this time in history. So thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, and part two will also be posted. Take care. On this year's Mother's Day, celebrate mom, and we've helped you do that with some amazing specials and some gifts and some really interesting new products, all available from healthrangerstore.com/Mother's Day. So just type that into your browser URL, healthrangerstore.com/Mother's Day. It will take you to this page right here. It begins April 30th at 11 a.m. and runs through May the 4th at 11 a.m. And here's what you can do. First of all, when you purchase $129 or more, you're going to get this free gift of our 5G defense. This is a really potent, amazing product, high density. You want to stock up on that because of how it helps your body naturally respond to peroxynitrite production. You can do some research on that. And if you spend $199 or more, then you also get this organic pumpkin spice oat latte, which is, that's a fan favorite. This is really amazing. It's kind of like, people think of it as almost like a clean organic eggnog type of mix, but of course, with everything real, everything high density nutrition, certified organic and laboratory tested. In addition to that, we have several products back in stock. We've got our tart cherry probiotics, our brown flax seed, and our ginger immune support. These are stick packs that can be mixed with water or other beverages to make delicious drinks. And then we've got doorbusters, just limited quantities of these that are available. We've got our, for example, our hydrate elementals with organic coconut water and Aquamen. That's very popular, especially if you're active, you know, for athletes or anybody working out. Organic lucuma powder, our organic butter powder that has also been recently tested for dioxins, in addition to the other things we test. We've got our, oh, very delicious creamy tomato instant soup. People love that. And plus other products here, freeze-dried mangoes like candy. Everybody loves that. We've got the clean chlorella powder, an extra 40% off right now. These are pretty amazing prices. And then we have a new line of our essential oil blends called Vital Guard. And I'm going to talk about these separately, but it's amazing. The spray, if you spray it on your pillow before you go to sleep at night, you're going to feel like you're in a luxury resort. You know, the blend of oils here is historical. It's even, you know, biblical oils that are known and have a reputation of offering protective properties. It's really amazing. It's called Vital Guard. That's brand new from our store. You're going to love those blends. I love them myself. Then we have exclusive offers from our third-party vendors, including water filter companies. We've got the seed kits here that are very popular right now from ARC. Good time to start planting food in the Northern Hemisphere, and you know, because of what's happening with fertilizer, et cetera. We've got our Elk Antler Velvet Gold from Daniel Vitalis, his company. The saunas, you know, so much more. Check all these products out. Again, just go to healthrangerstore.com/Mother's Day to see all of these third-party vendor products. Here's the Triad Air, and there's the Big Berkey Stainless Steel, the Terra Quant Portable Cold Laser, etc. And then on top of that, we've got some, depending on the day, we've got some special collections that are hand-selected for you. The first day being beauty and self-care and glow essentials right here. A lot of those available, including our collagen. And here's the Colloidal Silver Mouthwash. I use this every morning. It's really wonderful. Tooth salt and so on. There's so much more. I can't go through it all. I'm only halfway down the page. So we have a lot of specials, some free gifts, and then some offers from our third-party vendors that will really save you a bundle. So check it all out at healthrangerstore.com/Mother's Day. And remember that it begins April 30th at 11 a.m. and it goes through May 4th at 11 a.m. So happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And I hope that you take advantage of this, given the way prices are going right now with supply chains and, you know, the fertilizer shortage and the energy shortage. Prices will never, we'll never have these this low again, probably on any of these products. That's our world, folks. That's our world. So thank you for supporting us and happy Mother's Day. And we hope you enjoy these ultra clean, lab tested, beneficial products. Thanks for your support. Happy Mother's Day. Take care.